faithful. When Ann Phillips, Owen Ross, and I traveled to Guatemala just a few weeks ago, we knew we were stepping into unfamiliar territory, unfamiliar landscapes, a new language that we were going to be experiencing, and new communities. But the good news of the trip, and what we experienced very quickly, is we weren't alone. We had three incredible guides and folks who were going to, with their wisdom and grace, were going to lead us through all of Guatemala, all where we were traveling. Sophia was our coordinator, and Sophia managed every detail of the trip. Thank God for Sophia. From our hotel arrangements to the evening meals out on the town, and then walking back to our hotel in the dark. Sophia was there guiding us every step of the way, and it was incredible. Then there was Nicte, our interpreter, and she gave us the gift of connection. She could speak English. She studied in Minnesota, learned English, and then is now working for the church in Guatemala. But she was able to bridge the gap for us so that we could understand what the people were saying and that they could understand what we were saying. We were also madly on our Google Translate, typing in and passing the phone across the table, which was great. And then finally was Marvin, our bus driver. And Marvin knew and could navigate Zone 3 of Guatemala, which is the most dangerous city in Central America. So Marvin was able to take us right up to the school at Francisco Cole School. He was able to back the bus in this narrow pathway right up to the school. And then we were able to kind of get in and out with no problems at all. And then Marvin was navigating the mountain roads and the hairpin turns, helping us climb to Quetzaltenango and further into the highlands of Comet and Celio. I practiced those words because I could not say them for the life of me. We were in good hands. They knew the terrain. They understood the dangers. And they had our well-being foremost in their minds. It allowed us, for us not to be confused. It allowed us to enjoy where we were heading, to enjoy the relationships we were making, and to not be afraid. Sure, there were times when we were unsure. Fear pops up. It does in all of us, doesn't it? Yet Pentecost reminds us that on our walk with God, we're not alone. We are not alone because the Spirit makes community and leads us and guides us because God is loving and mighty and always wants the best for us. The Apostle Paul, writing his letter to the Romans, wants the best for them as a church. And they're a church that are made up of Jewish Christians, so Jewish people that have encountered the risen Christ, and also non-Jewish folks who this whole thing is all new to them. And many were fearful that they were living their lives in a good way with God. And they argued about it, right? No surprise. People arguing, right? First century, same thing. But Paul, as a Jew, writes his letter about how God's law showed Israel how to live. It showed them how to live, but the problem is it couldn't make them live the way that they wanted. Right? The law showed them how to live. It also showed, the law shows us how we miss the mark to the law. The law is always there. It shows us that we miss the mark towards the law. But it couldn't help the people live the love. When the Jewish Christians insisted that the non-Jewish Christians observe the Sabbath, eat kosher food, and be circumcised, it created no doubt, right? Tension in the community, fear. You mean to tell me I've got to do what? Yes, there's fear right away. And it was leading these new followers, as Paul quotes, you've been liberated through believing in Jesus, and now you're going to go backwards into a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear again, to which you've been liberated? And Paul is saying, no, don't go backwards. Don't go backwards into a cycle of disappointment. I can't do this, okay? Fear, judgment towards God and other people. Paul is saying, don't do it. All of this stuff leads to turn you off of God. For the church today, we too have been inspired by Jesus' teaching, particularly around love. Christ taught, by this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What's that famous hymn we sing about love in the church? They will know we are Christians by our love. Right? That one echoes through the church through history. The bottom line is that the church in history, we haven't always acted in line with the Spirit. The church hasn't always, took that command to love each other, to love the world as Christ loved us. We have sought power and control throughout church history, which has led to judgment and bondage and ultimately not fulfilling the mission that we're called. But when the church doesn't grasp that God leads us in love, it can become like the church is kind of repulsive in some ways, that people don't want to be around the church. As my colleague Scott Hosey nails it when he says, in history, Christians have often been lampooned as sour, dour, killjoy types who are most decidedly no fun to be around. Is that the church? Is that us? Is that true? I think it might be. Is it? Not you, Richard. No, definitely not. There's an old joke that says, I'd like to go to heaven for the climate, but for hell for the company. Ooh. That's a bit cheeky, but maybe telling. Or there's the old barb against Puritan types about whom it is said that their number one worry at any given moment is that someone in the world is having fun. The time when in my life when I've experienced fear, it's always zapped my joy. It zaps your joy. It makes me judgmental of other people. It makes me almost freeze and think negative thoughts about people that have been created in God's image. It happened to me very briefly on the trip to Guatemala. I have to admit it. I was thinking some negative thoughts about the Mayan spirituality in which we were encountering. I'm so glad with the Spirit's help, I was able to move past some of the negative thoughts. And there was a closing ceremony with dancing, and Sean has two left feet. However, those two left feet were jiving, and it sent them off like there was a bit of acceptance there. Fear can paralyze us. As singer Zach Williams sings, fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. The good news of Pentecost is that the coming of Christ's Spirit is that God leads the church from fear to faith. God leads the church from paralysis to love. Just as Jesus loved the world by entering fully into it, by not fearing the world, but entering into it, giving his life for the entire world. The Spirit empowered him to live faithfully, to die with grace, for others, for the entire world. It led to a cross to save the world from fear and sin and death, the three most powerful and destructive things in our world today. That's Jesus. That is God. Into the midst of the hurting, into the midst of the muck, to save it, to renew it, to redeem it. That same Spirit that led Jesus is the one that is with you today. That's guiding you, that's nudging you into greener pastures, into loving your neighbor, your spouse, your friend, your neighbor. That's the Spirit's job, is always to pointing us in the direction of this loving service that enters into the darkness, not turning us around the other way in fear. This is what the Spirit points to, always in this direction, always guiding, always leading, always with us, always moving us from fearful thoughts and opinions about others that God loves to serving them like Jesus. God's Spirit leads us into this type of glory in serving others in love. In the last years of his life, the great cellist and conductor Pablo Casals suffered greatly from rheumatoid arthritis and emphysema. At 90, he was badly stooped. His head pitched forward. His breathing was labored. He needed that help of his wife, Marta, to get dressed in the morning. And she would help him shuffle into the studio, where with great difficulty, he would arrange himself on the piano bench. Casals would then manage to raise his swollen, clenched fingers above the keyboard. A visitor described that what he saw next one particular morning was amazing. "I was not prepared," he said, "for the miracle that was about to happen. The fingers slowly unlocked, reached the keys like the buds of a plant towards the sunlight. His back straightened. He seemed to breathe more freely. Now his fingers settled on the keys. Then came the opening bars of Bach's well-tempered clavier, played with great sensitivity and control. He hummed as he played, then said that Bach spoke to him here, and he placed his hands over his heart. Then he plunged into Brahms' concerto, and his fingers, now agile and powerful, raced across the keyboard with dazzling speed. His entire body seemed fused with music. It was no longer stiff and shrunken, but supple and graceful, and completely freed of his arthritic coils. Having finished the piece, he stood up by himself, far straighter and taller than when he had come into the room. He walked to the breakfast table with no trace of shuffle at all, ate heartily, talked animatedly, finished the meal, and then went for a walk on the beach. In a similar way, that music that inspires and exhilarates us, the Spirit of God is the melody in our lives that energizes us, that unites us, different voices, different giftings, into the song of love of God. God has formed you, church, into a community, an instrument for bringing his love and light into this world. What makes our church more than just a gathering of good people is the Spirit of God. That is the background that is pushing us forward in our lives and in our community, infusing the church with the music of divinity. Today we do celebrate the presence of God. We celebrate that it's Pentecost, that the Spirit has come, but that the Spirit is here today, leading us in our mission and in our ministry to preach the gospel with our hands in our feet, with our mouths, and to immerse us into the music of God's love for this community. Friends, the wind of Pentecost still blows. The same Spirit that hovered over the waters at the beginning of creation, that filled a frightened band of disciples, is still at work today, leading us right now. You're not alone. We are not directionless. As David spoke about, there are good things happening across Canada in the church and throughout the nation. The path of the Spirit leads you and I not to judgment and to shame, but to loving goodness and grace, one of transformation and joy and purpose. The Spirit leads us into God's grace, where love flows freely and fear loses its grip. So when the world grows uncertain, when voices of fear do rise up all around us, when you're unsure how to speak love into hard places, remember who your guide is. Lift up your eyes, take it into view. The Spirit is leading you. Let's not freeze back into fear. Let's not settle for safe religion or stale routine, but let's follow the Spirit as a community, knowing that we are together and we are better together in this. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us in glory. Amen.